Good evening, fellow Gooners, and welcome to a special edition of a Totally Arsenal podcast. I'm your host, Mornay, and my co-host, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Very unfortunate defeat on Friday night against Man United.
You know, it was more a game of, wasted chances being the order of the day because, you know, going through the stats, like, over the weekend, since it was actually a dreary weekend with us being already kicked out on Friday evening. Just going through the stats, it was like United 7 shots at goal, 4 on target, and they eventually scored 3 goals. Arsenal 9 shots at goal, 5 on target, 1 goal scored. And then, for me, which was something that stood out like a sore thumb, was Arsenal passes. Close to 500.
And, yeah, 577 it was.
Yeah, and Man United were something like 272.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of it. They had now less possession. They also had less ball. But, look how they made it count to really hurt us. From the passing to the picking out of players. It was all things that was not, clinical and actually hurt us.
I think it was also a matter of silly mistakes of individual errors as well, team not communicating with each other. And I'll hop onto that, when we go into the Sanchez goal, or actually all goals, in fact, I can actually isolate incidents where, caused issues that could have been prevented.
Look, Arsenal started the game, kind of quick, because at United were almost like just taking the punches, sitting on the ropes and getting... body shots, just riding it out. And up to the 21st minute, we were in total control of the game. Because I was thinking of where they really looked threatening up to that 21st minute. There was nothing much coming from United. And then that Socrates injury where he ended up going for a challenge, landed quite awkwardly on his ankle and it could be substituted by Mustafi, heaven forbid. Just that change already brought shakiness. And it's almost like United sniffed blood immediately when that sub was done because, that was also something that was kind of worrying if I think of Koscielny, being the skipper because it's almost like we lost all sense of leadership when Socrates went off. Because it's almost like he was actually marshalling that defense to a T leading up to that injury of his.
Yeah, Koscielny seemed to have solidified the a decent partnership because we've been missing that now since the holding injury. Since the holding's been injured, we haven't, hit our stride with a decent back four because one moment is this guy playing, one moment is this guy. So we needed that consistency and continuity, and we had it with Socrates and Koscielny.
And it was actually almost like their partnership, even with the Chelsea game as well. It was very telepathic because if one made the error, the other one would know, okay, I'm gonna clean up here and whatever.
Yeah.
And vice versa. But it's almost like the minute that when Mustafi came in, it was all of a sudden Koscielny seemed worried. Maitland Niles looked kind of confused because throughout that first 20 odd minutes, Socrates was almost marshalling everybody, getting them in line, doing all the stuff. So, of course, everything went really pear-shaped there. And, it took Lukaku reverse pass on 31 minutes to breach our defense. Because, the defense seemed, at sixes, at sevens. Because
there's no communication there. Pushed
up and once ended up just, staying back.
It was the wing backs that got caught out. It was Maitland-Niles and they both got it was ridiculous actually. How does two players push up and the other two not know and the other two stand there? It's absolutely ridiculous.
And then Alexis ended up collecting the ball, round a check, typical what we know of him. And then he just chipped the ball into an empty net. And then Arsenal almost from the kickoff in. It was a case of that North London derby in the league where we ended up conceding and then within a space of 2 minutes, the next goal gets conceded because still rock from the goal. We're trying to, somehow recover. Our fullbacks are pushing up so high. I was thinking to myself, even when we were a goal down, I was thinking rather, compose yourselves as a you know, until everybody is comfortable. Because look, that also takes a lot out of you if you got seed, especially in our home game. But it's like, you know, everything just went like, you know, bananas really. Because when that goal, because Lukaku ended up, you know, running down the flank, cutting the ball inside, and Jesse Lingard comes in with a late run and just passes the ball into the net. With a replay, it really showed where everything went wrong for us.
Because yes.
Kolasinac was going so high. And I mean, look, he was supposed to be marking Lukaku for that time. Because look, Lukaku was over time then just spread out wide as a winger, yeah, more like a winger. And I mean, that is where, you know, where we've always been hopping on the whole, like, few podcasts already about the discipline of the team. And that is where they totally lack it. Because, I mean, to have your fullback going that far up, and then it takes one long pass to get to Lukaku, and it already takes out the left back. And then with that long pass, we ended up being some like 3-2, because I recall two United players, besides, like, it was Lingard and another, I don't know if it was Herrera or some, or Sanchez, but it ended up where there were 3-2 centre backs.
And yeah, then,
yeah?
No, carry on, carry on. Sorry, carry on.
Because then it was like, you know, Lukaku had all the space and the time, since look, he already ran into that open pocket of space, for him to now get his head up and you know, actually pick out who he wanted of the two players that were hitting us on the break.
And if you look at that goal, also that people, that pass that Luke Shaw hits to Lukaku, Koscielny tries to play him offside instead of maybe trying to close the space. I mean, didn't they learn from the first goal we conceded? So he, like, by trying to play him offside, he obviously gives Lukaku even more time, you know, to get down the wing and then, like you said, cut it back to Jesse Lingard.
And I mean, it really annoyed me in a way was the fact that Solskjaer said, like, either a day or so after the game, he had the players watch the Champions League, I think, semi-final that Arsenal played against Man United at the Emirates, where Ronaldo totally demolished us, you know, within, I think, of the first five or so minutes. And
yes,
made the same errors again in a game like this, like, you know, years after.
He mentioned it in his post-match interview as well, where he actually said as well, they always score counter-attacking goals like that, even in 97, I think, or 98, 97 when we beat him 3-2, I think it was. But they also scored a counter-attacking goal to equalize or something like that at the Emirates. Or not the Emirates, sorry, at the Ivory. So it's been a thing that keeps on going year after year, year after year, and they do the same thing to Arsenal, and we still haven't learned from it.
I mean, what shocks me is the fact that we can go with this blistering pace forward, but when the ball gets booted the other way, I mean, this is something that Graeme Souness has always been on about. It's like they just don't want it, you know, that to do the dirty work running back. So it's like you get it all, you know, in that gung-ho spirit going forward, but then you have this lethargic sort of, or that total blackout moments where they just do not know what's happening behind them when they have to now start running back. And it really worries me, because there's been other games this season where we've maybe won by the odd goal or had, like, you know, a draw. But it's like, had our opponent be more clinical, we would have probably lost the game, because we were caught out with things like this, the very same thing.
And it's actually disgusting, actually, is the word, to concede two goals like we did in quick succession. I mean, don't you learn after going 1-0 down? Like, it's not on at all. I mean, that needs to be worked on, and it happened often, even at Anfield, when we conceded, and next thing you know, we're conceding again. Something needs to be worked on, because you can't let the wheels come off like that when you concede.
And I mean, look, like, the crowd was up for to a point, but I mean, by the time that second body blow came, I mean, that you could hear the spirit or the atmosphere was totally gone in that crowd. I mean, they were trying to, but I mean, it seems like the players also did not, you know, also to a somewhat a degree, but, you know, they did somehow come back with a, when Ramsey, you know, burst through into the United box, allowing Aubameyang to bundle the ball in. I mean, even there, they didn't really look confident with the finishing even. Like,
yes. Was,
you know, because I first thought he scuffed it wide. Mm-hmm. I didn't, until I saw the neck bulge. I thought this is actually one of the probably the easy chance he would miss that you've been on about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good run by Ramsey. It was a nice, amazing run, and it's something we've been missing. You know, even though he's not the paces of guys, but to just take on like that, not a lot of guys would have got that right. So, like you mentioned, Aubameyang scoring the tap-in, like you said, I thought he would miss, but he needs to put more chances away, like become the Aubameyang of Dortmund again.
But, you know, I was also wondering about that, you know, the way we were playing, and that I thought, you know, that sort of position we had, we would actually hurt United more, because, look, David De Gea is normally like a stumbling block for us. Because, I mean, that game last season, I think we...
The 3-1, yeah.
He single-handedly won that game. Because, I mean, he was making saves in that match. You know, it was unbelievable, some of the saves he pulled off. And I thought now with Sergio Romero in goal, I thought, okay, this is now, you know, our chance to now dominate them, really. And you know, eke out errors by him and that. But, I mean, he played a solid game throughout. So, yeah.
And he made some memorable saves, actually, that I can recall.
And then second half already started on a kind of a negative note within the first 10 minutes or so, where in a clash between Koscielny and Lukaku, Lukaku ended up accidentally, you know, tramping on the side of Koscielny's head, which, of course, caused some damage to his jaw. And I think, you know, of course, he had, with the doctor and the physio were busy treating, he was something like he ended up having like a sort of locked jaw, so he could not really open and close his mouth. And I mean, you could already think what's going to happen if he must even attempt an header. So,
yeah.
You know, safety came first and he came off. What's the thing that came on for him?
Was it not Guendouzi that came on, or was he on already? Xhaka got pushed to the centre back there.
Well, we made a double. Yeah, we made double substitution because Ozil.
He came off as well then for Ozil.
Because then Xhaka dropped back into central defence. Guendouzi took that defensive mid role, and then Ozil did that free roaming up in the final third.
Then Ramsey was denied by Romero with a good save. I think it was quite a close angle header that I thought that Ramsey could have actually put away. Mm-hmm. Do you recall that?
Yeah, well, he just tipped over the crossbar, I remember that. Then I think like, then, he had a shot.
Yeah.
He had a powerful drive at the goal.
And then obviously Ole Gunnar Solskjaer decided to bring on his speed demons in Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial. And I think by that time, they would have had already, you know, Arsenal had exerted themselves and they had to go for it. Arsenal had to push for it. And then, I don't know if you watch the third goal again now, Ozil and Lacazette, you know, tried a fancy 1-2, it fails. And then you just watch Ozil, if you get a chance to watch the goal again, how Ozil jogs behind Pogba. He doesn't even make an effort to sprint back. He jogs behind Pogba, and Pogba just runs straight through the whole Arsenal team.
Yes. You know, it's our team, and that, but I mean, to see stuff like that, I mean, that, you know, as much as you love the team, I mean, it's laughable. I mean, you have these, you know, top paid professionals, and they're doing things like this, because, I mean, besides the Ozil thing now, I mean, the way he now, like, people like Torreira and then we're just bouncing off him and you know, tripping and stumbling. And I'm thinking, is anyone gonna, you know, do something to stop this? And I mean, to even allow that shot to go off, and then check, of course, parries the ball into Martial's path, which is like, you know, one error that leads to another. And Martial don't need a second invite to calmly tuck the ball into the net. 3-1, game over.
Yeah, that's the end of it. But in hindsight, like you messaged me privately, or maybe there's a voice note, where you actually told me that, you know, even though it's bad that we are at the FA Cup, it could have also been a blessing in disguise, because at the moment, I think our players with the injuries don't have the capacity to cope with all the competitions. I think Premier League and Europa League now is our main focus.
And I mean, if you now watch also with regards to some of the other fixtures or so, some of the other things that have been happening now over the weekend now, you see some of the like the top teams are like they keep on losing now playing, because I'm not sure if I saw Tottenham also have now another like where they have an injury that could be now you know, crucial to their run. And I mean, you can already see how they are struggling now without Harry Kane now, and they're struggling without Son. And I mean, Son is now complaining about being depressed after this thing, or not depressed really, but like mentally drained from having to play the World Cup, having to play the Premier League, and now having to play the Asia Cup. And it's like, you can see it's now, for him, he said he feels almost like he's running on empty. So, I mean, if you have not, look, Chelsea are now trying to now turn the season somewhat around as well, because, look, they were still kind of rocked from that defeat from us, but, I mean, they saw off Sheffield Wednesday, but a lot of people were saying it was a 3-0 game, but it wasn't, you know, that much to write home about for them. So, I mean, it's still all open, you know, going for that top four, but at the moment, United look like they're on a real mission, because yeah. We would give up, you know, put up a better fight against them, which we did not. I was somewhat annoyed, like, you know, hearing some Arsenal fans, I mean, not mentioning our names, but those wannabe social media, you know, pundits or whatever. I mean, talking about almost like they, you know, the amount of money that United put in and what Arsenal put in. I just think Arsenal did not have the fight for this sort of battle on Friday night. Whereas United were, you know, they had their game plan, which was, you know, almost like play within themselves to a degree.
Yeah.
But still show that solidity in defense, because it's not like we carved them, you know, the chances open, and that we actually worked our chances, but we just did, you know, the finishing was poor. At times, even the ball control was poor, because I mean, we should have also been a few goals. But it's again, you know, moments like this that cost us.
If you look at the goals Arsenal concedes, it's not a carving of the Arsenal team open. It's not the case of, you know, a mesmerizing run. It's just defensive errors all the time. It's errors. And that's the alarming thing. Like, what is getting worked on at training?
Because, I mean, with that, especially that first goal, when you see the amount of time that Lukaku has first, and the defense does not know whether to stick or twist, and they, you know, totally disjoint. And it looks like a more clumsy ball that he's playing. But, I mean, it gets through. It beats our defense. It beats it all back four of ours. And, you know, the way some people are going on about Cech and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, for me, it's just when you're going to commit yourself like that, if you're coming up against a player, say, like Sanchez, he's going to try to either go around you or something like to, you know, to out-trick you. And then, of course, with that, the second goal as well. Also, again, a reckless moment where the left back is again throwing us under the bus by pushing so far high up, he's not even watching. Because, I mean, I don't know if you remember, in between, I think a few minutes prior to that first goal, Lukaku was already doing that and getting free from Brazil.
Yes.
And that was almost like, for me, as you were saying early on, why are they not learning from that errors? And that was already a warning sign, like, you know, this is going to be his game plan against you, because he knows you're always, you know, playing as a wing back and just going forward. That's your strength. And that was where they actually exploited him again with his weakness, again, of the tracking back thing. And that is where key moments like that, look, that was now, it was like two gifted goals. And also, what hurts even more, it's like a goal considered 31st, 33rd minute, like that.
Yes, and that takes you out the game. That's something that Arsenal lacks doing again. When Arsenal score, they spur chances then, and the other team gets back in the game. If Arsenal get to start, you know, obviously defending better, but also take your chances when you go 1-0 up to make it 2-0. If you knock the winner to the team sales, they're not going to come as firing, but like we always like we give them a lifeline, missed chances, and they get the corner, or, you know, our defense is in the most stable, and then we give the goal and it's 1-1, and suddenly all that hard work, now we use energy and the team's back in the game.
So, okay, we end up on that game now. We switch our attention to the match versus Cardiff this evening. It's going to be a very emotional game for Cardiff, you know, with regard to the disappearance of one of the new signings, Emiliano Sala. So, I mean, you just don't know what sort of mindset they're going to be in now this evening. Look, Arsenal, at the end of the day, they have a job to do. They're going to try to go for that 3 points. So, you know, it's just whether to see if Neil Warnock can now get these troops. Because, look, from what I've heard, it's been also tough on the Cardiff players. Because, look, I think they've met him once or twice, you know, leading up to this whole transfer and that. And it's like, you know, affected them, like mentally affected that whole team. But I mean, they're willing, they said also they're willing to, you know, see that they play the game and that. So
it's very professional of them, and like, you know, kudos to them for doing that.
So, you know, it's going to really see what sort of character we show as well. You know, are we going to come with a more ruthless approach, even though the situation is like this now for Cardiff, or do Cardiff come, you know, play almost like they're playing for him? You know, for
that's what I'm scared of, actually. Yeah. Arsenal go there with a lax mentality, and Cardiff go with all guns blazing. And I don't know who's going to be our centre backs. I mean, I know Mustafi, but do they bring in that Mavropanos? I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, he's been training now with the team, and I think he's also drafted in the squad now.
Oh, it's a bit stressful. If you think about it, and I know we've, you know, have been a bit inconsistent since December, but if you look at it, our right back versus right back's injured, he's gone for the whole season. Then our top centre back was Rob Holding, in my opinion. Socrates was, you know, second in command with him, or, you know, the two of them were the mainstays at the back, injured. Monreal had an excellent season last season, or the past few seasons, and he also just can't seem to, you know, catch a break as well. So it's a tough time for Arsenal as well, and we're going to have to get through this and show what we're made of.
But it also shows you how, you know, how big of a summer it's going to be, because you're going to wonder now, do we, you know, make the drastic changes where, you know, you're going to allow people, say, like Mustafi to go. Monreal is going to be more thought of as a, you know, backup, and then a, you know, more stable and solid left-back gets brought in, sort of backup, a very strong sort of backup for Bellerin is brought in, you know, that can really keep the heat on him when he does come back, but can also lead the line when, because Bellerin will probably only come back probably September, October, even November, because look, he's got also a very long-term injury. So you're going to need a right-back that's going to get a full pre-season under the belt, plus, you know, taking on the 2019-20 season.
I actually go for the entirety of Wolves. I know a lot of clubs will probably be in for him, but, I mean, I would, you know, put 30, 40 million maybe on him, because he can be a very good competition with Victor Bellerin, and who knows, you know, you can even push maybe Bellerin a bit further up the pitch in some games, you know, some away games, you can have almost like two defensive on your right side. So I would go for him. He's like, Liverpool took a gamble with Andrew Robertson, and look how that paid off.
Because I when I think of Arsenal, the transition now with from Wenger to Emery, I think Arsenal should also adapt that way. I don't know if you recall, where Arsenal used to play with Ashley Cole starting, and then Clichy will see out the game. Then other games, Clichy will get, you know, the left-back slot. And then Ashley Cole would maybe come on as a wing-back. So you've got that whole left flank solidified. And I think that we also did it at some points with the right-back thing also, where we over time also drafted in Lauren and I forgot what the person was, but then they would also, you know, double up that right flank. So you've got almost like a real wall going across from the defense to the fullbacks. And that is, I think, what Arsenal need to bring back again into the game. They, after that invincible season and that, when the team started getting taken apart, that is where we lacked, you know, we never really had that sort of solidity on either flank, because every time we're developing wingers or outside left or right players, they are all players that are going to go forward, but they are very poor, you know, tracking back. So we're always almost like allowing our left and right back to be doubled up by the opposition.
We don't have the Lee Dixon, Nigel Winterburn type of wing backs anymore. You know, who could do both attacking and defending. I think we need to get that again.
Okay, now, I mean, we're going to rather, you know, do the Man City build up for the Saturday podcast. So, I mean, also going to be another hectic game. So, I think it's also going to be, and I'd give up one also an idea how the game plan will be for Sunday, because I think Emery will probably also try to maybe save one or two players maybe for that game. I mean, look, he's not somebody really that does that. I mean, I'm not just speaking from the heap now. But, I mean, I'm just wondering now, does he think that's mindset also with Man City, because look, I think what would be a good week for Arsenal, like, you know, starting now with this evening's game, you know, it's like a win tonight and even a draw on Sunday against
Man City. I think a draw is perfect. I think 4 points out of these two games, so not a lot of teams are going to go to the Etihad and pick up 3 points. We already threw our 3 points at home against them, so we need to make sure that we don't, you know, lose this game, because it's going to become tight, because Man United aren't going to drop points easily, and so are the rest. The Spurs look a bit brittle.
So from our losses this season, I think the ones that made us look, you know, really bad, it's not you can say, you know, we had a poor game, but it's that Man City defeat opening day of the season, because it's like they did not give us anything.
Yeah.
It's not like we were even, you know, really involved in the game. It's like they saw to it that they stopped us from playing our game, and then they also forced their game upon us, which means, I mean, we could not deal with.
And shame poor Lustana had to also be thrown in on the deep end. So it wasn't a good game to have to start the season.
But I mean, look, it also gives one hope when you see how some teams have also come up against Man City and also, you know, taken the game to them. You know, almost like fearlessly taking the game to them. Because I think there's a minute you have that, almost like that doubt or that fear in you. City smell it, and they normally, you know, overrun you, and they more often than not, they'll demolish you. But I mean, if you come with a certain game plan, if you watch some of the games also, like when Chelsea beat them, it was also to a T, like everything was done to a T, and it was a very disciplined thing. It was not everybody just, you know, doing their own or playing their own game. Like you had even people like Hazard tackling in midfield and overpowering them. So, you know, that is the sort of mindset we should go in for this game as well.
The only problem is we're going there with almost zero centre backs. That's my only worry. I hope we can get a signing in before and maybe he can play by then. Like I heard, as you said, Gary Cahill could be an option to come to Arsenal.
Yes, but I mean, at the moment, we're so tight with the money. I mean, I think we're probably going to be stumped by somebody like Fulham or Crystal Palace that are even asking. So, you know, it's going to be quite tough the way what the club has on offer or what Emery has in hand to allow the club will allow him to now spend on players. So that takes us now to some of the news that has now popped up the last 48 hours. Dennis Suarez, the deal looked for dead, and now it's again back on. But from what I heard now, one of the latest reports, it said he's even missed out training today as well. So it looks like Barcelona do want this thing to now get over the line. Because I think he also needs that. You know, I was discussing with a friend early on about Dennis Suarez, because he, you know, there's no clue really about him. And he was now asking me about Suarez. And I said, look, he needs a real break, you know, at a bigger team. Whereas at Barcelona, if you look at who he has ahead of him, he's not really going to, you know, make that sort of break. Whereas at Arsenal, he has now a manager that, you know, sort of knows him, that
yeah.
You know, is also looking for people that can, you know, explode on the scene at the club. I mean, the club needs that sort of impetus or that oomph, you know, to take us now forward. Because sometimes it also feels like, you know, certain players' heads are dropping and they need a sort of boost of fresh blood to come in the team that can maybe energize that squad as well.
I think, and that Ivan Perisic as well, he could also be a Arsenal player. I think they just need to, I think, as you told me as well, that it just needs to the finer details between Inter Milan and Arsenal just need to be sorted out. Because
at the moment, I heard they also let him train on his own the last few days now. So as well, they are kind of excluding him from the squad. And I mean, I think he also feels unwanted there. And I think maybe this could be also a boost for his career, even if it's a loan or whatever. But I mean, he can add also a lot to our team. Because look, even as a winger, whether he was at Dortmund or not, Inter, he's somebody that can, you know, ride a tackle. He can, you know, do long-busting runs on either flank. And I mean, he can cause damage. I mean, look, if you see the sort of teams that were after him after the World Cup, you know, that's the sort of character we need to get in the team that can really also light up the Emirates. Because, I mean, when last did we have somebody that's, you know, bursting forward but also positive and knows what, you know, what he wants to do exactly? Because it's not like we have these players, these exciting players, say like Mkhitaryan and Iwobi. They get themselves into that final third, but then it's like they do not know you know, they don't have that cutthroat decisions making skills really in their game.
Yeah, he's what we're lacking. I mean, Aubameyang as well. He's supposed to kind of be that guy that, you know, likes the Emirates a lot. Yes, he has been banging in goals. And by the way, I'm not hating on Aubameyang all the time. He's actually one of my favorite players at Arsenal. But it's just, I know, like, what his potential is, and he's not reaching it at the moment.
And as we're now winding down with the podcast, I just want to also give a big up to Aaron Ramsey and Alexander Lacazette, because, you know, the loss, especially the loss, if you take this, it has been also quite tough January. But I mean, the two of them have been really, you know, putting it all out on the pitch, you know, giving it all for the team. I mean, you can see that sometimes it's games when you're thinking, you know, these are the type of guys that are trying guts and blood, guts and glory to get something, you know, to win something for us. But it's like sometimes the rest of the team are not on that sort of wavelength. You know, you're not seeing that sort of performance. Yeah. Because, I mean, Ramsey, of course, his mind is already probably slowly drifting to the Juventus deal. But, I mean, he's still playing his heart out for the club. But, I mean, he's still...
Yeah, he's very professional.
Yeah. And, I mean, Lacazette is also somebody... I mean, he's always getting the short end of the straw with substitution, being substituted in that. But, I mean, he shows a hell of a lot of heart. I mean, he plays himself till he's, like, you know, empty on that pitch. So, I mean, you know, I just want to give them props because, I mean, they deserve it. They two players that have really... pulled out all the stops, especially going now into 2019.
Yeah, I can actually, you know, once Aaron Ramsey leaves, it's probably one of the few players you can look at, you know, and actually if Juventus, if he goes to Juventus and ever comes to the Emirates Stadium, you can actually give him, you know, a round of applause. You can't, you know, really slate the guy because he's put it all out there.
And, you know, one thing that in a way, you know, saddens me is like, you see this talent that has now developed over that 10 years and the way the modern football has now changed. It's like you don't even have testimonials anymore. I mean, look, we used to end up watching Lee Dixons or O'Neilly or Keown's. And, yeah, now it's like something of the past because now the minute you get that free transfer gets done, you know, that's it. The club, they cut immediately ties with the player and, you know, don't really – do those sort of things anymore.
That's quite sad. And I wish him all the best, you know, with whatever he decides.
Okay. And so I would like to our listeners, you know, I hope you like the podcast. We appreciate your listenership because, I mean, it means a hell of a lot to both of us. I hope you guys enjoy the game this evening. I hope it's a positive result. I hope we get the 3 points and keep knocking on the top four's door. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.